Okay. It's enough of that fucking jungle nonsense. What the fuck? Fantasy fucking island. Yeah, growing up, I would watch that fucking show. And I was probably 8 years old. Maybe even seven. When that show first came on the fucking air. In fact, there's a good chance I saw the fucking pilot. That's how boring life was in Mount Vernon, Washington. That's how... Yeah. Fucking Fantasy Island. Tattoo. Was that racist? Calling the ethnically perspective midget Tattoo. Essentially a Mexican, right? Seems kind of racist. And what's up with a couple Mexicans running Fantasy Island? Ricardo Montalban? The fucking Mexican midget? Too, both of these guys. How did they get that fucking job? And does that make me racist? I'm serious, folks. That fucking show, Fantasy Island. No, I am not actually racist. In recent podcasts, I have pushed the envelope of certain types of ethnic humor to the point I'm willing to accept for myself. I am not actually racist. Although I think every time somebody says they're not racist, doesn't that mean they're technically racist? I really don't know. I mean, if you ask me, probably every fucking aware thing, human, whale, dolphin, fucking parrots, every fucking creature on Earth that has attained some level of fucking consciousness, every one of God's little conscious creatures, every one of fucking God's little aware, self-aware creatures probably suffers from some sort of paranoia and or general xenophobia. In fact, you could argue, philosophically, that one of the features of consciousness is fear. Why is this? Why would fear be a feature of awareness? Well, think about it. You're aware of yourself. You're aware of the world around you. You're aware that you work on some magical island with a midget named Tattoo. You're aware that one day you'll be in a fucking movie with William Shatner. You're aware that maybe you'll have to wear a monkey suit that makes it look like you're a 25-year-old who works out at the gym. You're Ricardo Montalban. But what do you really know, Ricardo? You know very little, just like Dan, which is moi, which is me. just like people who listen to my fucking podcast, all three of them, they are aware of a little bit of shit. And then you're gonna die. And whether you go to heaven or you just turn into fucking, you know, meat that goes south and gets eaten by bacteria, which basically applies in both cases, but you get my point. Whatever it is you fucking believe happens at the end, you're only going to be here for a short while. You're going to learn a couple things. Maybe you'll learn seven things, and you'll become really good at them, but you will never know the eighth thing, or the, let's say in the mathematical sense, in terms of mathematical induction, you're never going to know the nth thing. Which means take all the shit you know when you die and add a one. That's just reality, folks. That's just the nature of the situation. So what do we fill the gaps in with? Well, if you're spiritual, you can investigate that aspect of reality which does not neatly fit into a materialistic box. And if you're spiritual, you can. If you believe, if you have faith, fill in the gaps with your spirituality. That's one way to deal with this problem. And also, I will say, this is a good philosophical argument against religion. I am a Christian. I am now telling you that there is a sound, kind of basic argument against all religion, all spirituality, all paranormal, supernatural bullshit. I don't care if you're a Hindu, a Buddhist, I don't care if you're a Jew, a Muslim, or a fucking Native American going on a spirit walk. I don't care if you're an Aborigine in the outback, or one of the last members of a tribe in the deepest, darkest jungles of what's left of the Amazon. I don't care who you are. The reality is this. For a lot of people, their spirituality is a way to sort of gloss over, to paper over, to whitewash their fear. Fear has always been a placeholder for ignorance. Always. It's not a new thing. It didn't just suddenly happen in the last 50 years. Fear has always been a placeholder for ignorance. Always. One of the interesting things about Fantasy Island I liked, and this is something that's funny about shows back in the 60s and 70s, is that I think that they got away with stuff that got you closer to the truth. But the thing I liked about Fantasy Island is it took people who, according to the island's perspective, were probably in a state of self-delusion. People who were in a state of self-confusion, which means people who are living on their own private Fantasy Island. And then they go to Fantasy Island, and the island breaks them of that bullshit fantasy. In some ways, Fantasy Island as a show was an implicit metaphor of this problem of knowledge and ignorance and what we do as humans, as creative, conscious, aware humans, and I doubt we're the only ones. We're probably the most elaborate. We probably do come up with the most elaborate schemes of bullshit, but I doubt that we're the only strange creatures that in our awareness of the world around us develop little fucking mythologies, little fucking superstitions to deal with the fear, to deal with the fear, and ultimately the fear and the sadness. The sadness of knowing that the things you love, including yourself and others, might go away and you might be powerless to prevent it. There's another thing to be afraid of. A person I care about has two dogs, two golden labs, and this is a true story, and I'm not going to give out any more details, but a person I care about has two dogs, two golden retrievers. These dogs love each other. I mean, these dogs really, really care about each other. And then one day, one of the dogs dies. Now, I noticed last summer when I was hanging out with these friends that the other dog, the dog left alive, was sad, distraught, and really looking for, trying to seek after the dog that was dead. And yeah, this is sad. I'm not a pet owner, but I know there are people out there that treat their pets like humans. And listen, I'm not saying you should treat your dog like a, you know, like crap or like a burger, but, you know, I'm not sure about treating them equivalent to people. But that being said, people who have pets realize that there's enough going on there that you really shouldn't just be flippant about their emotions. They have emotions. They have awareness. They have sadness and they have fear. Good little Beans, my sister's French bulldog, he may be terrible at everything about being a dog, but when it comes to being a conscious, aware being, he demonstrates that one characteristic so very fucking well. Fear. Little Beans is scared of everything. Little Beans is scared of the dark mungies out on the sidewalk. Little Beans is afraid that every time some stranger comes by, that stranger is going to attack. Little Beans lives in a constant state of perpetual delusion and fear. Little Beans, the French Bulldog. Anyways, I really liked Fantasy Island. I don't know why I spent so much time on it this morning, but it harkens back to a different day and age, and have we resolved the question of, is Dan a racist? Well, here's what I will be honest about. I am not a racist. I have met decent people of every fucking ethnicity you can imagine. I have met shitty people in every fucking ethnicity you can imagine. My first battery commander, when I was stationed in, Korea, oh, by the way, this guy was actually Korean, before I get into this. My first battery commander in the Army. This motherfucker was one of the worst pieces of shit I'd ever met in my entire fucking life. Only out of respect for minor structures of the past will I not mention his fucking name. But he was a worthless piece of shit. He was Korean. Does that mean that Koreans suck? No. No, no, no. Actually, I've met a lot of cool Koreans. So it has zero to do with ethnicity and zero to do with whatever you want to call race. The fact is, this guy was a steaming pile of shit. And guess what? This commander went away because in Korea, you're there for about a year or two, depending upon whether, you know, you take a platoon job or the next level up. The point is, this guy went away, and then the next guy replaced him. He was a white guy. And he was also a steaming pile of shit. In fact, he was a drunk steaming pile of shit. And believe me, it takes one to know one. This guy was an awful drunk. He was an angry drunk. We were in a battery commander meeting one day, and again, I'm talking about the white guy and not the Korean. We were in a battery meeting one day, and the fucker picks up his phone and throws it at us. He's a fucking captain in the United States Army. We're fucking lieutenants. Whatever you think about your soldiers, write them up on charges, send them to the fucking brig. But, you know, since we're not the fucking ancient army of the Gombiaks, don't pick up the fucking phone and throw it at us. But I didn't say that. I simply smiled. I tell you, back in the day, when I experienced all this bullshit, I simply smiled and I said to myself, well, this is probably just the exception. This is probably just the rare instance. There is no way that the entire 2nd Infantry Division stationed in Korea is really just an entire division of drunks. There's no way. There is no way that Area 1, the first line of defense against the North Korean invasion, is filled with nothing but drunks. I'll tell you what, folks. It's probably 50-50. And that will probably match the number of people that die in the first 15 minutes of a war between North and South Korea. Before I switch to the next topic, here's a little bit of chilling information. The North Koreans have about 60,000 pieces of artillery. I think it's 60,000, roughly. It could be closer to 20,000. Ready to fire at any time. Loaded with mostly chemical weapons. All of which have huge portions of Seoul and everything north of Seoul. And if you don't know what Seoul is the largest city in Korea. Arguably, and I should say South Korea, but yeah, Korea generally, arguably a third of all the South Koreans live in and around Seoul, all of which is within range of chemical weapons within the first 15 minutes of war. So yeah, the second ID might be half drunks, and in terms of getting to MOP 4, and if you don't know what MOP 4 is, I won't say anymore because it's a depressing fucking topic. Yeah. Have fun in the chemical chamber. I think he already went to that. He must have. He went through basic. I'm sure the Navy must do that. I wonder if they still do that, though. There's so much snowflake bullshit these days. I wonder if they still put basic training soldiers in the fucking CS chamber. I did that a couple times, folks. I think I did that about 3 or 4 times. I did it during NBC training. I did it during basic. I did it at advanced camp. And I think I did it 1 or 2 other times. So let's just call it an even half dozen. An even half dozen times I've gone into that little room with my gas mask on, had the motherfucker take the lid off the fucking canister, light it, take off your fucking mask like every good NBC sergeant says. And I don't mean the fucking TV station. NBC, Nuclear, Biological, and Chemical Warfare. Take off your fucking mask and take a deep breath, folks. Just take a deep breath. It's just CS gas. Just for crowd control. CS gas burns your lungs and your skin. If you are sweating, and oh, by the way, in combat situations, you're often sweating, it feels like the worst sunburn you ever had. CS gas can stop you from breathing. In fact, in a high enough concentration, CS gas can just stop you. You breathe it in, you stop breathing. If you don't start breathing again, you die. I would wager, in the history of doing that little thing in basic training, there has probably been several deaths. And I would also wager that given the nature of the military, most of those deaths were covered up. Fantasy fucking island, folks. What a fucking metaphor for the United States post-Vietnam. Fantasy fucking island. Next topic, or first topic, before I get into it today, though, let's just make a note of this. This is Dan, this is the Little Saigon Report, and this is Seattle, Washington, folks. It is roughly 6 a.m. on Wednesday, November the 13th, right? Because yesterday was November the 12th, and Monday was Veterans Day, and that's the 11th, you fuck. Thank you. There is a conspiracy. A conspiracy to create chaos. A conspiracy to achieve great power. A conspiracy to incite violence and civil wars. It comes by many names. Now, I will tell you that this conspiracy is true and false. There's a true part and there's a false part. Let me talk about the true part. The conspiracy throughout history, the great lie, and I don't know who the first guy was who got suckered. It was probably some village, a lot like that little podcast of mine from a year ago, more or less, the one about the magical fucking crocodile. There was probably a time in the ancient past when the people met in their fucking public meeting hall, and they said, you know, we got plenty of grain, but we could have more grain. We have plenty of fucking stuff, but could we have more stuff? And, you know, I know we kind of live in peace with our neighbors, but wouldn't it be nice to be able to, like, I don't know, take some of our neighbors' shit? I honestly don't know what the train of thought was. It may not have been remotely evil. It could have been the desire of some community to simply make some minor fucking improvement. Who knows? It could have been the meeting to build the first road between two settlements in human history. It could have been that. Who the fuck knows? Someone could have said, I want a road committee. We need the road police. The conspiracy, in my view, has always been government. That is the conspiracy. It does sow chaos. I can tell you that every fucking government throughout history has participated in that bullshit, in that gaslighting bullshit of sowing chaos and sowing violence and having paid thugs that go around starting trouble so they can solve the problem. Problem reaction solution was not invented by the Marxists. I know there are some of you who'd like to believe that. Just like you'd like to believe that all the tyrannical bullshit of the world today is about communism. But no, that's not the case. It's not even remotely fucking the case. Karl Marx lived in the 19th century. Bullshit tyrannical ideas have been around since the beginning of fucking everything. People have been suckered by power schemes since the beginning of history. In fact, one way of looking at history, other than history being the history of revenge, which sometimes I think it really is, history is the history of fucking with people. History is the history of achieving great power and then losing it. That's also another way of looking at history. History is the history of these fucking power schemes. These power pyramid schemes. And humans love them because they're fascinating as fuck. It seems like you can have everything you want. It's like debt. Debt is the ultimate tyrannical trick. It is the ultimate magical trick for the tyrant. If the tyrant can convince you that debt is a real thing, then you will chase after it. You will obey it. You will do everything it tells you to do. Yesterday I was reading one of these, you know, soup du jour essays on Zero Hedge. And it was written, and it was written by someone who writes a lot on Zero Hedge and often makes some sense, maybe a fair amount of sense. But it was another one of these, don't let the globalists sucker you into civil war bullshit. And you know, maybe that's true. Maybe the globalists are trying to sucker us into a fucking civil war. But there's a bit of a conceit on the part of anybody who gives them that much intelligence or power. I'm not saying their goal is not to fuck with us. Absolutely it's to fuck with us. That's one of the things governments have done throughout history. They love fucking with you. Whether it's for reasons of sociopathy, whether it's because, I don't know, maybe some other stupid reason, but my God, do they love fucking with people throughout history. Propaganda, lies, these are not new things. Not even remotely. The technology makes it easier. Now that's a true statement. But the lying is not a recent invention of government. It's always been around. The divide and conquer, that's not recent. Not even remotely recent. And before I go to the next topic, I'd like to add one other fucking thing. It might be the case that for thousands of years, a small cabal of people have been running the fucking world. It really truly might be the case that there is some group called the Illuminati or something. It might be the case that the top 1% of 1% of 1% of families make sure, control, affect everything. That they're bigger than fucking God. At least as far as earthly matters go, right? I don't think that they're gods. I don't think that they're well, they might be demons. I truly don't know. I am a Christian, so I'm open to the idea that there could be demons running people, but the fact is these are just people. At the end of the day, they got free will, and many of them are very confused. They think they control more than they actually do. It's entirely plausible that these people could lose control. In fact, I think they suspect that that's the case. If you ask me, I think they suspect that they have already lost control. People are not obeying the way that they expected them to. Wow, big fucking surprise. Big fucking surprise that humans do not do well in captivity. In fact, if anything, we become monsters in captivity. And you'd say, well, Dan, doesn't the deep state like the idea of population of monsters? Well, not really. What they want are robots that will obey what they're told. Monsters have a nasty habit of going berserk. Monsters have a nasty habit of going crazy and even killing their creators, just as an FYI. Next topic. And before I move on, I'm not saying that there aren't cabals, that there aren't people who think they run the world. But that's kind of the gimmick, folks. They think they run the world. In fact, before I go, I'd like to remind you of something Solzhenitsyn once said. And I'm paraphrasing. And if you don't know who Solzhenitsyn was, he was a... I think he is dead now, but he was a Russian political activist, a former prisoner, a philosopher, and a critic of the Soviet Union, but also a critic of the United States. He wrote a book called The Gulag Archipelago. And the book is essentially about the experiences of Russian prisoners in the Russian prison, Russian prison camps. And the archipelago refers to all these camps, like little islands, out in Siberia. Solzhenitsyn once said that if at the very first moment the secret police came into the building and broke into your neighbor's apartment and pulled them out into the darkness of the night, taking them to Lubyanka, taking them to get a bullet in the back of the head, if at the very first day that Stalin's terror had begun. People had pulled out their axe handles, their hammers, their knives, their pitchforks. If they had fought back, the terror would have ended right then and there. Solzhenitsyn was right. There are more of us than there are of them. And no amount of 5G, microwave, or even 40 caliber hollow point will change that. They can have 6 billion rounds of hollow point. I don't care if they have 60 billion rounds. We're not talking about robots, folks. Even the people that pull the triggers are people with families, with kids, brothers, sisters, friends. If you think and believe that the people that have to carry the 40 caliber submachine guns are going to go willy-nilly through the streets and kill everybody without themselves going berserk, you are terribly fucking confused. I promise you, the people that run things are keeping an eye on the PTSD statistics coming out of these wars. Yeah, they're learning what violence does to people. I promise you, Ferguson was a training exercise. Back in, I think, what was it, October of 2014, I listened in on the Sheriff's Channel. I listened in on that shit. I listened in on the Ferguson riots. It sounded exactly like the shit you would hear as part of the military event listing for a training event, yeah, at Fort Polk, PLTC. So I don't know, folks. I don't know. I think if you believe they control us, you have been suckered by their big lie. They do not. They believe they control us, and we allow them to believe this because the food pellet shows up on time. But here's something they know that you might not know. Those food pellets are not guaranteed to show up, folks. I know that you think every time you push the right series of buttons, you're supposed to get a food pellet. There is no guarantee of the food pellet. And there will come a day when that food pellet doesn't show up. And the people that quote-unquote run things know this. Next topic. I think as you get older, maybe not wiser, but as you get older, I think you eventually collect enemies. I'd like to say that you collect enemies and friends, but truly I don't know. I think some people get both. But for a lot of us, perhaps most of us, all we end up with at the end of this life is a list of enemies. Enemies, people who want us dead. And maybe we deserve it. Maybe it was something we did. Maybe it was something we said. Maybe it was something left unsaid. You live long enough, you're going to have a list of enemies. So this message is for all my enemies out there, all of you. I don't care who you are. I don't care where you live. I don't care why you want me dead. I could give you 50 reasons for wanting me dead, so I really don't give a shit. For all my enemies out there, I'm going to offer you a convenience. I'm going to offer you some advice. I'm going to provide for you a roadmap of taking me out. But you got to listen, buddy. Because if you don't listen, you won't understand the fucking secret. Are you listening, buddy? Any Sunday at 2 a.m. Pacific Standard Time in Seattle. Any Sunday at 2 a.m. Pacific Standard Time in Seattle. Any fucking Sunday of the fucking year in Seattle at 2 a.m. if I'm awake. If I'm awake, if I'm not awake, you don't do it. But if I'm awake and come to the door at 2 a.m. on a Sunday in Seattle, and I open the fucking door, You can go ahead and kill me. If it is February in Seattle, any fucking February in Seattle, I don't care which February in Seattle. I don't even give a shit what time of day it is. If it's February in Seattle and you want to take me out, I'll probably help you. I will probably help you. I will provide you with scenarios. In fact, in all likelihood, I had probably spent the previous 2 or 3 days before February considering the various methodologies for, you know. Now, I know some of you think, Dan, this is god-awful dark shit. You're basically telling people that on any Sunday at 2 a.m. in Seattle, if Dan is willing to answer the door, you can go ahead and just stab me in the heart. And then you're also saying, Dan, that if it is February in Seattle, and it doesn't matter time of day, as long as it's Pacific Standard Time, February in Seattle, you can take me out. Am I really serious? Well, not really. I don't really want to die. Actually, I'm kind of in a good place right now, believe it or not, despite all my darkness. It's really weird. The weird thing about me, and this is really fucked up, I can be in extraordinarily dark places and actually still be basically in a good mood. Now, it might not be a very healthy mood. It might fit more into the category of some sort of weird psychedelic schadenfreude. But I'm in a good mood right now, folks. The shit I'm seeing, the shit I'm feeling, it simply reminds me that maybe I'm not crazy. Next topic. So, there's a lot of, in a lot of the science fiction now, and maybe even a huge portion of it, and it's not necessarily recent. I think this goes back to, well, actually, it may go back forever, but it certainly goes back to, in the scientific context, probably the 1920s and 30s. But it's really been a kind of, how can I put this? It's been a fixture of fantasy and even mythology for thousands of years. So it's really not a new thing. It's a thing that's been repackaged. What am I talking about? I'm talking about the multiverse, other dimensions, other universes, other planes of existence. Which meaning that the universe we're in right now is only one of a multitude, an infinite spectrum of possible universes, all of them running at the same time in their own little time loop. It's fucking amazing, people, the fucking multiverse. Even C.S. Lewis, I think, dabbled in this. And C.S. Lewis is considered a famous apologist for Christianity, a famous Christian. And even C.S. Lewis, in his fucking fiction, dabbles in this, well, if you just go find yourself an old piece of furniture, you can travel to a different world where lions rule And there are various types of strangeness in this different other world. And he was a Christian. I'm going to tell you this right now so you understand. So that if in the future you don't get any other warning, you can at least know that Dan gave you warning. At least you can have that fucking thought in your head. But I think a lot of this in recent years, and I don't think this is necessarily applicable to C.S. Lewis, but I think a lot of the recent sort of hullabaloo of the last few decades about the multiverse has mostly been predictive programming. I am a Christian. Before I was a Christian, I was an atheist, and I truly believed that the multiverse was the only way to explain all of the strange behaviors of quantum mechanics and causality. Like, essentially, the only way you get out of that alive is to accept the possibility that every branch and sequence, every moment where there can be more than one state that applies to a moment of existence, also known in quantum mechanics as superposition, that superposition implies that, yeah, Schrodinger's cat is alive, and Schrodinger's cat is fucking dead. That's superposition. That is a concept in quantum physics, and it goes back pretty much to the 1930s. It is a thought experiment, too. Keep in mind, folks, all of these things are kind of thought experiments. I don't think anyone has ever deliberately tried to poison their cat to prove this, nor do I think it would prove anything, because the very moment you open the fucking door to see if the cat is alive or dead, all of the quantum states coalesce into one outcome. Oh, fuck. Superposition. I don't believe in the multiverse any longer. I used to because I believed it had a unique solution to a lot of hard problems philosophically. And what the fuck did I know? I mean, what the fuck do any of us really know? Even the people that are the quote-unquote experts. But what the fuck do we know? We know what we're told. We're told things like there's a massive superconducting super collider in CERN, Switzerland, or wherever, called CERN. And the super collider is going to explain to us the nature of reality, and we'll discover the God particle, the fucking Higgs boson. That's fucking wonderful. And who knows, maybe we'll open a doorway to another universe, and we'll order pizza. I don't believe in the multiverse any longer. I don't. If you're a Christian and you believe in the multiverse, you have to believe a few things that do not fit with faith in God. One thing is that God did not create one universe. God created many. That doesn't really fit with Judeo-Christian mythology. Even if you're not a Christian, you really can't find in Christianity any justification for the multiverse. At least not in any scientific sense, which is to say, maybe there is a kind of different dimension to life, but that's more to do with the spiritual side of things, I think. You know, with the nature of reality beyond the physical world, like heaven, like hell, like God, like angels. These things fit into that other world. So if you want to argue, Dan, there's at least two different worlds, the physical world, and that other realm of the intangible, the spiritual, the supernatural, the realm of God. You could argue that if you want to, although God controls all realms, so it's really just one big fucking happy universe with God in charge. So I'm still stuck with the one universe. There might be parts of the universe that are hidden from us. Yeah, guess what? That is probably the case. Okay? And that's probably always been the case, and it's not just about supernatural bullshit. It has always been the case, going back to our little conversation about the things you know and the things you don't know. And it's often the things you don't know that cause you the greatest amount of fucking fear, or at least eventually cause you pain, because you think you know, but you don't know. Which is better, oh, by the way, arrogance or fear? Which do you think is safer, arrogance or fear? If you're out in the outback of Australia, and you're coming up to a watering hole not far from the local river runoff, and you see the bones and little piles of creatures you don't know about and you don't care about because you're an arrogant fuck, you go to kneel down to fill up your little fucking water bottle, and all of a sudden a rush of water and a giant thing comes out and swallows you alive. So which is better, folks, arrogance or fear? Because yes, arrogance can often lead you to avoid things that might have been awesome. That is true. I mean, excuse me, fear. Fear can often put you in a position of avoidance. I agree. It's that whole James Lang thing, fight or flight. Those are your options, folks. When it comes to situations like this, your options are fight the giant saltwater crocodile because you think you're Crocodile Dundee, or maybe you should fucking not try to wrestle 3,000-pound crocodiles because that's not real. That's bullshit. In the physical battle between a human man and a saltwater crocodile, a human being could survive. And maybe your only choice is to fight, but all things being equal, if you and your friends can avoid the giant crocodile, why wouldn't you? So I say once again, before I get back on topic, which is worse, folks? Arrogance? Or fear? Because I can promise you that both of those things will get you into trouble. Back to the multiverse, okay? Back to the multiverse. There's a story I want to write, and if I actually get off my ass and start writing fiction again, which I haven't done in about a year, there's a story I'd like to write. And it's a story that I've, in my head, titled Sanctuary. And I might not write it because I'm not sure it needs to be written, but it is the basis of this conversation. And in a previous podcast, I kind of hinted about it in a little piano journey or keyboard journey about coming to Etheria. I am going to tell you something kind of scary before I move to the next topic, which might be the last topic, right? Because we're almost at an hour. If there is no multiverse, imagine the following scenario. For whatever reason, and it could be by design, folks, it could be by design. Just because I don't believe the people that run the world are, how can I frame this? Infallible is a nice word. I don't believe they're infallible. That doesn't mean that they're not driven by an arrogance. And believe me, they're very arrogant fucking people. If you've ever met some of these people that work at different levels of the government and other things, these people are usually arrogant as fuck, male, female, and otherwise. They think they should run your fucking life. In fact, the idealists amongst these people, the quote-unquote people who give a shit, they're the worst. They believe they're doing what's right by running your fucking life. So maybe there will be a huge catastrophe that is completely normal and natural, and maybe it'll all be bullshit, and it will be a ginned-up catastrophe. I truly don't know. As stated in the past, folks, I'm just another goldfish in the fucking goldfish bowl. If you have the secret knowledge of the inner cabal, please, by all means, send me a fucking email. But since I do not, I won't claim to. So maybe there will be a catastrophe that is completely natural or the result of history, and maybe it'll be completely ginned up and synthetic. But it doesn't really fucking matter, folks, because that's not the fucking punchline. Imagine a scenario where they tell you that every human being on planet Earth will be dead in 10 years. I know, Dan, that's crazy. I can't imagine a scenario where in the news, in the public square, in politics, anyone would come out and say, the world will end in 10 years. That's crazy, Dan. Except for it's happening. You have a lot of crazy, kooky people who are being given the megaphone. Little Greta Thunberg, the witch hunter from Sweden, who all you fucking Republicans and Democrats are taking votes so fucking seriously. All you Democrats are worshiping. All you Republicans are fearing. All of you all are fucking stupid. She is a buffoon. If you don't know how to detect a historical buffoon like Little Greta Thunberg or Al Gore, then you will not even remotely understand what's going on. Yeah, I might be wrong, but I'm not wrong about this. She's a buffoon. Her purpose is to antagonize. Her purpose is to stir up shit. Ocasio-Cortez, another fucking buffoon. Have you seen pictures of this woman? And no, it's not about her ethnicity, you stupid fucks. It's about her being a fucking clown. She's a fucking clown. She's a buffoon. Just like Al Gore. Just like the little white girl Greta Thunberg. Fucking clowns and buffoons. But here's what's not so fucking funny. And you're going to say, Dan, you're crazy. People will not be this stupid. I'm going to tell you right now that the public school system of the United States of America and most other well-run, Prussian-designed little states of the modern world, to include even the douchey states of China and Japan and all the Asian countries, the public education system has dumbed people down. So here's the scenario. Sometime in the year 2022, maybe 2023, maybe next week, sometime in the next 10 years, there will be an emergency announcement. And you know what? President, you know, I've said that Tulsi Gabbard looks like she's going to be the next president of the United States. I will enter in the following exception. It is either between her or Trump. She is the only one that fulfills the narrative other than Trump. Hillary doesn't. For all of her bullshit, for all of her craginess, there is no version of the deep state story for which she makes sense. She is out. She is written out. The only role she plays is as spoiler. If she jumps into the race, I think that pretty much guarantees that Tulsi Gabbard will be the Democratic nominee. I promise you, if Hillary gets into the race, I think that that's a trigger for the fact that Tulsi is going to win. Okay? But anyways, it doesn't fucking matter because it's all fucking tyrannical bullshit. There's no voting. It's not about popularity. If you think it's about that, holy fuck, you're deeply fucking confused. Voting. Holy fuck. There will be an emergency announcement. And it will be announced to all the people of the world. If the human population is not reduced by at least half, maybe even, who knows, 80%, life on Earth will end as we know it. 80%. 8 out of 10 people need to voluntarily die. But good news, we've discovered another universe. They're really nice people. They live in a place called Etheria. They're awesome people. They're lovely people. They even look like Amish people through our Videotron, through our perceiving device, through the laser we use to split the veil. They look like Amish people. They talk about inclusiveness. They accept gay and straight and lesbian or whatever. They don't care if you're a guy who thinks you're a girl or a girl who thinks you're a guy thinking you're a girl. It's Etheria. They love you all. So yes, 80% of the people must die, or maybe 80% of us can go to Etheria. They say there's plenty of space in Etheria. They say the Etheria is filled with lovely birds and lovely flowers. They say that in Etheria, all of the food is quite tasty. There will be a lottery, and during the period of time up to the lottery, the news will tell you, oh, you want to be the 80%. For the 20%, it'll be hellish. For the 20%, the Earth will be a death zone. All of the reactors will go critical. All of the swamps will be filled with radioactive super crocodiles, giant lamprey rats, giant beaver bats, cockroaches with 17 eyes, excuse me, 17,000 eyes. So if you're unlucky, if you don't win the lottery, you gotta stay here with the other 20% on Earth and deal with all of the fucking strange monstrosities of our toxic wonderland. So don't you wish you win the lottery to go to Etheria? And you'd say, well, Dan, won't there be people who say, what about my grandma? She sent me an email from Etheria. She's telling me it's wonderful there. She says the weather's perfect. I think that you could get 8 out of 10 people to walk into a phone booth to get vaporized. I think that they've collected enough data on people that they could convince you, at least while the program lasts, and who knows, maybe this particular event, this particular transportation, Maybe it only happens on one day. I mean, that's how I would do it. I would have a 1 or 2 day event so you don't even have to worry about getting emails from people. And maybe you tell them, you know what? It's one-way communication. You can send them an email, but we don't have the technology yet to get one back. It's all about this weird indeterminacy bullshit, blah, blah, blah. They'll give you some type of scientific gobbledygook. What they'll tell you, probably, is it's a one-day thing, and you probably won't be able to talk to your parents or friends once you're there, but we'll see. We'll see. We'll try to get video messages back. It really depends upon the state of AI and CGI, oops. Can we fake it till we make it? I think 8 out of 10 people would walk into the booth. I think 8 out of 10 people would walk into that fucking booth to be vaporized. I think that 8 out of 10 people could be eliminated from the planet Earth in one day, and they would believe this shit. After seeing that TV show Sliders, after watching that show Fringe, after tuning into The Flash. Oh yeah, The Flash was all about the multiverse, right? And didn't Philip K. Dick talk about the multiverse? Man in the High Castle bullshit? And even Mr. Robot. I mean, here's a show I really like. It's a recent kind of show. And even Mr. Robot has this stupid fucking subplot about the multiverse. I don't get it. I don't get it. I do, but I don't. It's so fucking stupid. And listen, like I said, this particular predictive programming, it goes back a while, okay? It probably goes back to the 1920s and 30s. I wonder if, to some extent, this entire thing has been a question of convincing people not just that there's a multiverse, but also that there is no God. Because if there's a multiverse, I have to be blunt, folks, there is no God. There isn't. There's no need for a God. There would never have to be a God. The multiverse solves every fucking problem that you would need a God for. Every single one. So if you're a materialist atheist, all you have to do is believe there's an infinite number of universes that have a varying number of likelihoods. And you might be on a high likelihood universe wanting to go to a low likelihood universe. And I've discussed this in the past. The only way to do that is to go backwards in time. Holy fuck. Lateral transfers, where you get to talk to a nearby universe. That's where things get sketchy to me. And that's before I became a Christian. And as a Christian, I still tried to hold on to some of these stupid beliefs, okay? That God was Wilt Chamberlain. What did Wilt Chamberlain once say? I had sex with 20,000 women. How the fuck do you do that without being dead? Actually, since I've gone over my current restrictions on time, I'm going to end things here. I'm going to end things right about here. I know that we didn't have a brought to you by message today. We will talk about that in the next podcast, my various existential, metaphysical, trans-dimensional funding operations, all of which are being funneled through Frentic Corp. Frentic Corp. Frentic, that's spelled Foxtrot, Romeo, Echo, November, Tango, India, Charlie. Frentic Corporation was founded in the year 1022 AD. A group of Cistercian monks decided to form Frentic Group. They took over control of all of the ancient highways, the highways that lead to eternal understanding. They put up a toll booth at the path to truth. They put a guard up where a sign read, certainty. The Frantic Group has been funneling money to various cabals for a very long time. So on this Wednesday morning, nearly 7 a.m., as you consider your work day and the stuff you need to get done, remember that the Frantic Group is why you get to have all the shit you get to have. Why water is wet and heat is hot. The Frantic Group, they run everything. Fucking Cistercians. God damn it.